Welcome to the LeanZone.com podcast, where we discuss construction contracts, liens, and bonds. And now, our host, Alex Barthet.
What is a pay-when-paid clause, and how do I deal with it? So a pay-when-paid clause is a contract provision that shifts the risk of non-payment from one party to another. Typically, it exists in your subcontract, so that's the contract between you and the GC, but it can also exist between a subcontractor and a sub-sub. It's not limited to just a provision in a subcontract. So this is a provision that looks a lot like a pay-when-paid provision, but it's not. Under no circumstances shall the contractor be obligated to pay the subcontractor until funds have been advanced by the owner. Not a valid pay-when-paid provision. And you're probably thinking, well, it sounds pretty good to me. I understand what that means. There's a series of cases decided by judges that have given very specific definitions of what a pay-when-paid provision is and what it needs to look like. And this is it. So here's another sample provision. Both of these are from cases, by the way. Final payment shall be made within 30 days of completion of the construction project, acceptance by the owner, and as a condition precedent, receipt of final payment from the owner. Now, the underline is the magic language. And the courts have said that the magic language has to be there, condition precedent or contingent upon. So effectively, the exact same provision without the magic language may be unenforceable, may not be a valid and enforceable pay-when-paid provision. So then the question is how to deal with it once you identify that you have one, or the converse, by the way, is if you're trying to enforce one, you want to, if you're a GC, you want to make sure that your contracts have valid pay-when-paid provisions, or if you're a sub with sub-subs, how do you make your pay-when-paid provision enforceable? So the first thing is that the magic language that I told you about, this is old law. We're going on 40 years now. So it has now trickled all the way through contracts. It's pretty rare that a contract comes across my desk that doesn't have the magic language. So if you're trying to avoid the pay-when-paid provision, the first thing you should try to do is strike the provision, or at a minimum, strike the magic language. If you can't do that, and quite frankly, even if you can, you want to include what's called a stop work provision. We talked about this before. Subcontractor can slow or stop work without liability or penalty if it has not been paid its draw request in 30 days after submission. So it doesn't overcome the pay when paid, but it at least gets you to stop working in case you haven't been paid, so you don't have to keep funding construction. What else can you do? As a subcontractor, you can take a look at the prime contract. Is there a provision in that prime contract that requires the general contractor to pay his subs before he pays you? That is a relatively common provision that exists typically in the final payment provision of most construction contracts. So what it looks like is something like this. I, as an owner, will pay the contractor, and the contractor is typically running, everything is running a month behind, ideally. We get to the final payment on the job. I, as an owner, say, I only want to issue that final payment when I know that everyone's been paid. I don't want to issue the final payment and find out that the plumber is still owed some money. So I'm going to require in my contract that you, contractor, give me releases from all of your subs as I hand you the final payment, right? So that's a relatively standard provision. That's the provision that exists in the AIA owner contracts. When that provision is incorporated into your subcontract, and your subcontract may say pay when paid, we have a problem, right? Who's going to pay first? Everyone's waiting for someone else to write the check. This issue went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said subcontractors cannot withstand the issue financially as compared to contractors. So when we have this push, the sub wins and the GC loses. So that means even if you have the magic language in your pay-when-paid provision, but this provision exists in the contract, in the prime contract, and you get to the end of the job, that pay when paid provision is unenforceable.
This episode is brought to you by the Miami Construction Forum. This invitation-only group of construction professionals of all sizes and trades meets monthly for an informal lunch-and-learn session on current topics of interest, from getting paid and safety to bonding and insurance. To see the upcoming topics and request your invitation, visit MiamiConstructionForum.com.
So you still have to get to the end of the job where this provision kicks in, this provision being the owner provision, kicks in. But assuming you do, then the now that valid pay when paid provision has become invalid. So if you're trying to deal with a pay when paid provision, see what the prime contract says. Now, if you're a GC and you're trying to keep your pay when paid provision enforceable, you need to keep running that last payment from the owner again 1 month behind. You have to, or maybe it's a week behind or a day behind, some period of time where you as the GC don't have to advance the final payment in order to keep that pay when paid provision alive. If you have lien rights, if you have rights against the contractor's payment bond, then you can do an end run around the pay when paid provision, meaning most bonds that are issued, all bonds on public jobs and almost every bond on private jobs, they are not subject to the pay when paid provision. Meaning, if you are a sub and you're doing work on a public job and you don't get paid and the owner hasn't paid the contractor, you can still go after the contractor's surety, and they are not allowed to say that they don't have to pay you because the owner hasn't paid the contractor. So even though you have a pay when paid provision in your contract, the surety is not able to assert that defense. So if you have rights against the contractor's payment bond, it's very important that you enforce them and that you protect them, because that's one way to do an end run around the pay when paid provision. Also, remember that subcontractors may have bonds too. So if you are a sub-sub or a material supplier to a sub, and the job is bonded by the GC, maybe the sub that you have a direct contract with has a bond. So if I am the metal ductwork subcontractor, sub-sub on a job, so my contract's with a mechanical contractor who has a contract with the GC, who has a contract with the owner, and the GC is bonded. So I, as a sub-sub, I have a claim against that prime bond. But it may be that the person that hired me also has a sub bond on larger jobs that may happen. So don't give up. Like, I didn't send my notice to contractor, my notice of non-payment on time. If that sub has a bond, then you may have rights against that bond, even though you didn't send any of those notices.
Thanks for listening to the LeanZone.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or in your favorite podcast app. For articles, videos, and forms on this and other construction topics, head over to the LeanZone.com.